You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. And it's amazing, gentlemen, what can change in a matter of 2 days. We sat here on a Friday, and we talked, and, you know, I felt like a lot of last week, there just wasn't all of that much going on. And, yeah, certainly Friday we had some games to talk about. We had some changes. We watched some preseason football. And I remember one of the things we didn't get to on a Friday was I wanted to ask you who the people you were going to take the most was over the weekend, the players that would end up on the most of your teams, knowing that you had a bunch of draft Scotty, you had a bunch of draft Corey, and you as well, Matt. And yet, everything changed in a matter of moments over the weekend. And that's what makes this week so exciting. Good morning, Scotty. What's going on?
How you doing, man? Good to see you. Fun weekend. Had two drafts, played some Madden, saw my mom. It was a busy weekend. Even some baseball too.
Even some baseball as well. Yeah. Matty Mo, how's it going?
It's going well. As you mentioned, there's a crazy weekend in the NFL and the repercussions in fantasy football. Just a quick note, in the classic 14-team league in the NFFC last night, the first one of the season, Kareem Hunt went 27th overall. That's the second to last.
You're really bad at these little spoiler alerts things.
We gotta give something to build up on.
Corey Parson, man. Yo. I watched Line of Lock live yesterday on YouTube. I'm sorry I couldn't be here.
No problem.
It was very entertaining.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I think everybody did a good job downstairs on the fourth floor.
How are you, sir? How was your weekend?
I'm doing good. The weekend went well. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really get a chance to go hot anywhere over the weekend, but I did do some facilitating, and I saw... Boy, I tell you what, I saw one of the tightest draft boards yesterday afternoon with some real top players, and values are really shifting going into this week. This is a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, Matt already gave the spoiler alert, but I can go one better. I'll save it, though. You feel what I'm saying?
See,
I can go one better on what Kareem Hunt current value is right now. Obviously, yesterday, you know what I mean, we get the breaking news that Spencer Weir out for the season with the PCL, Julian Edelman down for the season. We got what's the other homeboy, Cam Meredith, down for the season. So it's like body bag weekend, caught it off weekend, it all took place. So this is definitely a situation where next season, I don't think you see more than two or three preseason games, because we cannot be losing these players this time of year, the season ending injuries.
No, we obviously cannot. And of course, when we get back from the break, this is what we're going to start with. Right? We're going to talk about Kareem Hunt to kick off the show today. A ton of injuries over the weekend, starting with Julian Edelman, as you mentioned, on Friday night, a player you were not in on, a zero shares him, and you know, this is not why
he was my bust.
This is not why you thought he would bust,
no,
obviously.
But he did bust. Accuracy expert.
Put it on the board. When we come back, though, we're going to get into Kareem Hunt and try to figure out, now that we've had a day or two to think about this, just how high we should be taking him this week in fantasy football drafts. Kareem Hunt next on the Rotor Rack this morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network here with you on a Monday. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. We know you were drafting all last week, and we know the drafts are still to come. This is a major, major draft week, obviously, because the NFL, I believe, is just 10 days away now from officially kicking off. Now, the big story, among many big stories, and it's funny, because I sat down to
come over, you know, I'll plan for today. And my list just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. It was one of those never-ending...
That's a good idea.
You might as well just take my Gory. It's 2 pages long, honestly. And it just never stopped. And, you know, I started out with Julian Edelman, but I want to instead start out today's show with Kareem Hunt. Now, Spencer Ware originally was out 2 to 8 weeks, and that changed within 24 hours because now the report is Spencer Ware is done for the year. Or Andy Reid, much like I've said about Kyle Shanahan all along, you want the running back, whoever that is, when he's under Andy Reid, much like Kyle Shanahan. I said it last year when I drafted Spencer Ware earlier than most. I say it this year because Andy Reid has come out and admitted it. None of these BS veteran games, none of this Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson split, nothing. He's made it incredibly, incredibly clear that if Spencer Ware is out, which he is, Kareem Hunt is my guy. That doesn't mean between the 20s. That doesn't mean on first or second down. Kareem Hunt is my guy. He is the featured back. He is everything in an offense that likes to run the football. Sure, you've heard plenty of stories about how good Alex Smith has looked in practice, how he's slinging the ball more to Tyreek Hill, how he's using Travis Kelce. That's fantastic. But we know something. We can see it with our own eyes that this offense has always revolved around the running game, a good running game. And now that running game revolves around Kareem Hunt, a guy that Matt Modica and Scott Angle have been talking about for 3 months. Modica has him on double-digit teams. Scotty's begged to have him wherever he can. And now it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than it was simply 3 days ago. My question to all of you, that all the listeners want to know, is if you want Kareem Hunt, where do we have to take Kareem Hunt, Scotty?
I would think the second or third round, depending on who you're playing with. It was interesting, you know, because I had to redo my ranks in the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package on rotoexperts.com, available now. Enter the king and check out for a special discount. And you can also read my new I may be wrong, but bold predictions, which includes a Kareem Hunt, Matt Modica prediction. But yesterday I did an NFC cut line, and I know it's only 10 teams, but still I was able to get Kareem Hunt in the fifth, and I couldn't believe it because this was after what happened. This was yesterday at 1 o'clock. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I was able to start with, I got Jordan Howard in the third, Joe Mixon in the fourth, and Kareem Hunt in the fifth. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? Drafted Spencer Ware in like the middle rounds.
Well, yeah, people really. I saw a little bit of situation yesterday where people weren't up on the news, but he should not be. You should have took him in the second and third yesterday. You see what I'm saying?
I took Jordan Howard in the third.
Another player that's dropping is Jordan Howard. I saw Jordan Howard on the draft board yesterday at 3-3. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's the bus. He is the running back bus.
I'll take him in the third round, though. Look, I'm not big on Howard either. I'm like kind of like you. I don't think he's a complete bust. I'm not as high on him as other people. In the third round, I'll take him. Look, Kareem Hunt ran well Friday night against a good defense. You know, they're going to give him the ball a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised to go and see him go in the second round now.
So you're taking him now. I know you took him in the fifth round in your league yesterday, Scott. But you're saying he's a second round pick now. This is okay. Where do you currently have him? You said you updated your rankings at rotoexperts.com. You updated those ranks and put him where?
I have number 12 running back.
You're number 12 overall. That is
12 running back.
Yeah, okay. So I'm sorry. 12 running back. Between who?
Let me pull that up right for you right now. He's between Cook. He's between Cook and Mixon.
Yeah, let's give Scotty a break. He did a draft. He did his rankings.
Oh, he's very tired this morning.
I'm very sharp. I did a draft champions on Saturday, and I did a cut line yesterday. And I got a play against Scott Engel lead this Thursday at 2 o'clock on the NFFC. It's like after I did my draft champions, I was saying that I'd done best ball, but I'd never done draft champions, and that takes every ounce and drop of knowledge that you have out of your head. But I still was ready to do another. I was like, but it was like 11:30 at night, so I couldn't. So I just went and played some Madden and worked off the adrenaline.
Matt Modica, I know you've done some leagues over the weekend. I know you told me, you know, off the air, you tweeted about how high Kareem is going. For the average player that you're having, the average 12-team league, not a high-stakes league, right? The average 12-team league that's going to a bar with their friend at some point this week or next weekend, where are we drafting Kareem Hunt?
For the average league, I think you probably get him in the third round or so. Maybe he falls to the fourth in the average league. But if you want to be a little aggressive on that, like, see, when I'm talking high stakes and stuff and you're playing in an average league, how you can translate that is you can see what, you know, these guys are doing. And maybe you bump that guy up a round, half a round, whatever. So it can help you in that aspect. You could be maybe a little ahead of the curve. Look, let's look at one thing. Kareem Hunt has the opportunity. That's the thing we always look at. He has the fantasy-friendly head coach who is proven and produced for running back ones. Uh-huh. And he has the unteachable skill that is talent. So, I mean, I was always of the belief that this was a talented running back who Andy Reid went and got in the draft. For him, he paid draft capital. It was, you know, he wasn't a first or second round pick. But Andy Reid went and got him. And I thought Spencer Ware was just the guy. So I stated Spencer Ware would be the starting running back week one, but Hunt would get enough touches and eventually usurp that role. So now what we see is it's kind of like fantasy baseball, where Jacob deGrom was going in the fifth round, and then in spring training he hit 96, 97. When it went live, Jacob deGrom was a second-round pick in the NFFC and the NFBC in the first weekend of March in New York and in Vegas. So, you know, you have to adjust with things. You know, he has nobody in his way now. I mean, Kartrandick West, I can say his name, is not going to impede Kareem Hunt. Where would I put him? To me, he's got to be, you know, in that 10, 11 range just because of where he's – just because of the team he's on, the scheme, and how it plays out. I mean, Dalvin Cook – and him, that's going to be interesting. I've seen him go yesterday ahead of Cook. So, I mean, look, if you have a late second-round pick, you're going to be deciding on these guys. So, whether it's Christian McCaffrey or who else.
And to his point, you know, about moving stuff on the board, if you're playing high stakes, you know, guys, if they like them, they bump them up the board. It's almost like an auction strategy. If you really like a guy, don't be afraid to go a little earlier. You don't have to worry about what the room says, and who cares what the room says. If you like a guy, bump him on the board and take him when you can get him. You know, that's what you go ahead and do.
Here's to Scott's point about ADP. Before ADP ever existed this season, we did that fantasy experts draft the day of when the draft completed. I took Hunt at 6-10. In my first draft champions on May 23rd, I took Hunt in the 7th round. And then in my first online championship, the first week of June, I took him again in the 6th round. This was before there was an ADP. Then he started going 9th, 10th round, so I pushed back a little. But you always have the belief, look at the systems and where opportunity can be created.
You know, it's interesting. Because I remember that show that we did the Monday after the NFL draft. And you told me you drafted Kareem Hunt at 6-10. And I was astounded. I was like, this is a guy that is a, you know, a third-round pick, and there's guys in front of him, and I get it. There's love, and I thought that was a mistake at the time, that it was playing too far to the future. And to be fair, Kareem Hunt's value did normalize for a little bit. As you said, you drafted him a little bit later as we got closer and closer to the summer. Now, Corey, it's obviously clear that Kareem Hunt is in that mix when it comes to a Dalvin Cook, when it comes to Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, Scott Hazemnier, Todd Gurley, Isaiah Crowell. Kareem Hunt is in that mix. Where in that mix is he?
I saw him yesterday with some very talented with players. Kareem Hunt was the first rookie running back to go off the draft board. Mm-hmm. He went off the draft board on the 2-3 turn. Hold on one second. Let me tell you right here, because this is top secret information. Kareem, let me see. I'm sorry, excuse me, Kareem K. 3-4. He went 3-4. 3-4 to, I'll tell you who it was in the break. He went 3-4, Kareem Hunt. Yeah. He was the first rookie running back to go off the board. The rest fell in line after him. So it was Hunt as the high guy. Mixon has become the low man of the rookie running backs with Cook, McCaffrey in the middle, and people are really off on Leonard Fournette right now. I saw Leonard Fournette almost slip to the 4th round yesterday. Leonard Fournette, Jordan Howard are the players that's dropping. The running backs moving up are Kareem Hunt and Todd Gurley. You said Todd Gurley is in the first round of every draft I've seen now.
Draft champions, Todd Gurley went at 6 yesterday.
Yeah, see, people, it's optimism. All the good stuff coming out about how Jared Goff is playing is leading people to push Todd Gurley up the board. I don't have a problem with it.
He didn't look good this weekend.
No, he didn't. But, you know.
Gurley wasn't there either, though. It took away some offensive balance.
We're talking about Jordan Howard in a little bit because I'm still astounded by it. Everyone jumping off board for zero reason whatsoever. But no,
there's a reason why. Well, that team is going to be bad.
Pete, tell us when we come back. All right, we'll do that next here on the Road Rush Report.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
With all the breaking news from this weekend, particularly Kareem Hunt, we're going to get to a lot of it in a few moments. Corey's is pretty striking as we headed to break, that the player that is falling precipitously is Jordan Howard. He saw Jordan Howard go in the top of the... You got Jordan Howard in the third round of your draft yesterday. Corey, you're seeing Todd Gurley go way ahead of him at this point. And yet, I still kind of wonder why. Right? Like, this is a guy that performed, as Matt has pointed out on many occasions, since he started here, the same numbers as Ezekiel Elliott last year. It's a team with a good offensive line, certainly not a good team, but a team with a good offensive line. And Jordan Howard is the man, without question, in Chicago. And yet here he is, falling behind a guy in Todd Gurley that killed everyone's expectations last year. Really, really let everybody down. And you can blame the offense, which is fair. You can blame the offensive line, which is fair. It hasn't been improved. But you also have to blame Todd Gurley. I like Gurley. I'm not saying I don't. But I don't think I've seen enough to all of a sudden put him where he's going and put Jordan Howard back. Corey, why do you believe that Jordan Howard is falling like he is?
That's one. There's a situation. The quarterback situation is going to be bleak. It's either going to be... Glennon looks terrible. The rookie's likely going to get the job. So that right there, the rookie quarterback, that early in his career, with a team with who are the weapons on this team outside of Jordan Howard? There's nothing in the passing game now that Cam Meredith is down. What is it? Kendall Wright, who hasn't been good in 4 years. You got Marcus Wheaton, who is he even playing right now? Kendall Wright.
Kevin White.
Kevin White. Now, Kevin White is the one that's going to take the move up.
Kendall and Kevin, yeah.
Up the draft board. But we haven't seen him either. This is going to be a bad football team. It's no pieces on offense. And I've been staying away from Jordan Howard from the beginning. I don't have not one share. And I'm telling you, you're going to be able to find... If you want Jordan Howard, this is the week to get him. Because he's going to be in the third round, in the late second and early third round of drafts this week. And you can have him.
I was with Corey on Jordan Howard. I wasn't big on him because he's not going to shock people anymore. I didn't think the quarterback situation was. And then I'm going to turn to Matty Moe yesterday because I watched yesterday's game, and I've watched Mitchell Trubisky, and I'm convinced that this guy is going to start, and he's going to be better than people think. I watched him yesterday. That guy makes quick decisions. He goes through his progression very quickly. He's confident. You can see it in the way that he plays. Play action, bomb, dropping him in the bucket. I'm with Matty Moe now. I like what I've seen from Mitchell Trubisky. I would not be surprised if this guy has a good rookie season. And you know what? Maybe this team is look, you don't have any guys there that are really proven in the passing game that Meredith is out. You got Kevin White. You got Marcus Wheaton. Corey's right on all of that. But you know what, though? Trubisky looks good. He does. It's like, I'm with Matty Moe on this. It's like, you talk about the college inexperience. That guy just looks like he's ready.
Here's the thing with Howard. I mean, I don't really own any shares of him. It's more because I would be taking where he was originally going for the past couple months. I'd be taking a Cooks or a Dez at that spot. I still think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to bust. If he's in the third round, I'll gladly take him. You know, if all these rookies push up and I miss them and he's there in the third, I'm going to take him.
Well, hold on. Let's pause right there. That means you're now taking Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, Christian McCaffrey. You're taking all these guys ahead of Jordan Howard now.
I'm not sure, but I'm just saying if he was to fall.
Okay.
I'm going to map out my draft board tonight because everything changes, you know.
Absolutely.
It's like with starting pitchers in baseball. They all push up. The running backs push up this week. But I'm just trying to make the case for him. Look, he had bad quarterbacks last year, with the exception of Brian Hoyer, who then broke his arm. So he had bad quarterbacks last year. He had Cam Meredith was his wide receiver. Who else was there? So
how hard are they going to play?
I think the team's going to play hard. I mean, these are professional athletes, and if this kid could be somewhat adequate, he's going to have hard times. It's not going to be, you know, Hall of Fame season. I'm not going anywhere near that. But I'm just making the argument. Last season, he had bad quarterbacks. He really didn't have like elite wide receivers on his team. And the offensive line is considered one of the best. The interior offensive line is considered probably the best in the league. And, I mean, what this guy did cannot be ignored. If Zeke Elliott did not play last year, this guy would be going in the first round, like, you know, middle to late. So that's the one thing. If you believe in Gurley, I don't know how you can't believe in Jordan Howard.
I couldn't agree more with you.
Todd Gurley is a better player.
Todd Gurley was great, and Todd Gurley last season isn't just, you know, the Rams. Todd Gurley has to take some of that. I know he got hit in the backfield a lot, but there were times where he did not. You know, he's got to step up and he's got to be able to do some stuff too. So.
And I couldn't agree more with you. And if Jordan Howard's dropping, I have no problem making that play. I picked him last week. Listen, I wasn't picking him where he was going. I picked him in an auction, and I thought the price was right. He went for the exact same price as Todd Gurley, as Jay Ajayi, as Isaiah Crowell. Actually,
you know who else has fallen? Matt pointed it out last week, but I'm starting to see him in the fifth round now, Isaiah Crowell. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that's people thinking that it's going to be tougher with Kaiser for Correll to get his numbers, and then Crowell is dropping and Duke Johnson is moving up, so it's starting to even out.
Yeah, because Duke Johnson has played in the preseason too, and he's looking good. But you know what? I like Kaiser. You know, especially if you're going to have a backup fantasy quarterback like you did, Corey. You took him as one of your backups. I like Kaiser because yes, there's going to be mistakes, but he's got a strong arm and he's going to take off and rush for a lot of yardage.
What is your thought on Eddie Lacy now?
It's the same. You know, it's like I wrote this in the article. I think he's going to score about 7-8 touchdowns, but not even rush for 900 yards.
Is he going to play? He may not make the team.
That's not going to happen.
That's the same thing you said about Matt Flynn.
What?
That's the same thing you said about Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn lost the job to Russell Wilson. Eddie Lacy is losing the job to anybody.
He's going to lose the job to Thomas Rawls.
Yeah,
Thomas Rawls hasn't played yet.
Who's number one on the depth chart?
Who's number one on the depth chart right now? It's Rawls, but that's going to be a running back by committee. It's going to drive people crazy.
Running back by committee where you got Lacy scoring 7 touchdowns, he can't get on the field. I told you that dude sucked.
What are you talking about? He played.
I'm telling you, Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, go get those dudes, those weapons in Seattle's offense, because they're not going to be able to run the football at all this year. Maybe the Carson kid can give you a little bit of something later on.
He's a sleeper. He's run
can't
really
stay
well.
Healthy. Lacy can't stay healthy. Lacy sucks.
Lacy didn't get hurt. You're talking like Lacy got hurt. He didn't get hurt.
When is he going to play? What is he going to do?
It's going to be a timeshare. He's going to do the power running, and somebody else is going to be like the speed juke sort of guy. Did you watch the game Friday night?
He's off your board. Is he off your board?
Yeah.
He's off the board. Scott, 75% of the table is Eddie Lacy is off our board.
I got him in the 14th round the other
Eddie
day.
Eddie Lacy? That should tell you that nobody wants him.
I'll take him in the 14th round.
I don't want the hell?
I originally was taking him in the 9th. You're talking about like I'm taking him in the 2nd.
At one point, you was taking him in the 5th.
Yeah, I was.
I'll take anybody in the 14th.
And then Dr. A told me about his ankle.
Oh, God. How about you listen to me? We said
Corey's been telling me for months.
Yeah, but Corey didn't base it on health, though.
For his scream health.
No, Corey just said he's done.
Because of his health. That's what he screamed to you for months.
Yeah, but he didn't say nothing about the ankle in no detailed way to Dr.
They were,
A did.
They were saying that he has weight clauses, weight bonuses throughout the year.
Yep.
They could save like $1.2 million just on those alone or something like that. And it's, look, they'll save the money. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get cut, but just the sense that they're talking about it. They have rules. This kid Carson looks the best out of all of them.
Chris Carson looks the best.
It's crazy. I have Eddie Lacy ranked behind Darren McFadden. And Darren McFadden may play five games.
That's not crazy because McFadden might start six games. Look, I don't think Lacy doesn't have the burst right now, but he can still move the pile. So they'll use him at the goal line.
So you're saying he's like LeGarrette Blount. He got to play himself into shape.
Well, I don't know if he'll ever do that, but.
So we mentioned Isaiah Crowell.
I would take Lamar Miller before. Now let me stop.
Yeah, but you got Miller Lacy ranked 151, 152 at running back.
All right. So you mentioned DeShon Kizer, officially the starting quarterback in Cleveland. You talked about Isaiah Crowell's value dropping a little bit. Duke Johnson's moving up. What does DeShon Kizer, Matt, as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, what does it do for the wide receivers? What does it do for Corey Coleman? What does it do for Kenny Britt?
I want to say it downgrades them, but then I go back and I think about last season and you know how bad the quarterback play was for the Browns. The Browns, with Hugh Jackson, do want to run it. I think they were like in rushing attempts or rushing, they were like next to last. And that's not a Hugh Jackson game plan. He knows he needs to run it. They've improved this line. So I still think, you know, the Kenny Britts and the Corey Colemans are going to be in play. I'm not, you know, falling over myself to get them, but I wouldn't discard them just because you have the quarterback. I mean, he does have a strong arm. He's pretty good to throw a ton of picks, but it's Cleveland and, you know, where they go when they drafted this kid in the second round.
He's going to move that offense, and he showed a real affinity for Corey Coleman over the weekend, so I think you got to bump Corey Coleman up a little bit after what I saw and maybe move Kenny Britt down.
Listen, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yes, he targeted Corey Coleman. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know how successfully he's going to be in moving said offense, though. I think
he will because he's got a strong arm.
But in college, Scott, he made such terrible.
I see the decision making.
Horrible. At
I'm not saying he's going to win a lot of football games. I'm going to say he's going to keep defenses kind of on their feet because he can run and he can throw. There's going to be just some decision making. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, but he will keep the defense honest and he will help some guys produce some numbers.
Potentially, I agree. I want Corey Coleman over Kenny Britt, but I don't. You know, DeShon Kizer is going to sling it. I agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, Kenny Britt is pretty damn good, man. Kenny Britt,
I'm not talking about drafting DeShon Kizer.
I'll take him as a backup.
Will you really, though?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
get out of
in a standard league.
I already did that over the weekend.
In a 16-round league, the average person is really taking DeShon Kizer.
If I wait really late, like till the final rounds of my quarterback, I'm fine with Kizer. There'll be some rushing yards. There could be like two touchdown, two interception games where he also rushes for a score.
Let's talk more about this when we come back on the Breakfast in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott, you said you have no problem taking DeShon Kizer as your backup quarterback.
Yep.
Will you ever want to start DeShon Kizer?
Maybe in a bye week.
So you're going to hold on to this player that maybe one week, in 10 weeks from now, you will start.
Well, the quarterback gets injured, something. Look, if you're going to take a backup quarterback,
and one quarterback in a standard 16-20-round
draft, DeShon Kizer is going to rush for yardage. He's got a strong arm. He's going to throw. They're going to play from behind. I'm fine with having. I'll take DeShon Kizer as my backup quarterback.
Here's my issue with this for the 16-round draft. like in the Flex Cup PPR league, mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford went undrafted.
Sure. Yeah.
So all these people that are waiting, are you going to take Kaiser over a possibility of getting Stafford?
No. I'm not saying that.
I'm
but
just
I,
saying, but like in these leagues,
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Or like in the 15th round or the 14th round, you're not. If Stafford's there, you're not going to take him.
If you're in the 20
round industry drafts, everybody's going to wait on quarterbacks. So I completely agree with you. But I've been in other drafts this year where quarterbacks go off the board mm-hmm. earlier. And then at some point, people decide in the draft, and I even had this in both my NFFCs over the weekend, but people decide they have to start taking a backup quarterback, and a run will start. But and then I can lay back and have Kaiser as my backup.
And the 12-team, 20-round redraft, if I play quarterback chicken a little bit too long, and I'm going to get my second quarterback, and it's now a decision between, like, Deshaun Kaiser and, you know, like a Sam Bradford or one of the bums down towards the end of the board, I'll take Kaiser.
And you get in that
Russian
position.
Upside.
You get in that position.
But don't get me, I'm not putting, like, I value the other quarterbacks more
too.
Than he
does. He's not top 15
like,
I'm for
not,
me.
If Greg, in the GST league, you want to pick up Deshaun Kaiser?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I have a quarterback. I like Carson Wentz and Carson Palmer significantly more than I like Deshaun Kaiser.
Even Carson Palmer?
I want to drop Eli Manning and pick up Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer has, number one, looked good. His first five games of the schedule are phenomenal. I have a lot more belief in Carson Palmer right now.
And here's the thing. In a 20-round draft, the best friends forever found out the second quarterback is going to get drafted much higher.
Correct.
In a 20-round league, like the NFFC and stuff like that. You can't wait on the backup if you want to get a backup, or I'd say a high-end number two quarterback.
There's nothing wrong with Carson Palmer, by the way.
Yeah, no. I backed him. And the other thing is Sam Bradford, look at his schedule. I know we don't like doing that, especially that he opens up against the Saints. Everybody likes all the pieces there. They like Dalvin Cook. They like Kyle Rudolph. They like Diggs. They like Thielen. But nobody likes Sam Bradford. I don't get that.
He's kind of uninspiring.
He might be uninspiring. I guarantee you he will be the most picked up quarterback early in the season.
Quarterback snob. You don't like him either, though.
He does like him.
I'm taking like Matthew Stafford as my backup.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what Bradford is? It's more about efficiency. You know, the guy had the highest completion percentage in history last year, but he only averaged 7 yards a pop overall. I know he was better down the stretch. I think Bradford's okay as a backup. I don't think there's real upside there. It's like I like Diggs as a wide receiver 3 and Thielen as a wide receiver 4. I'm not high on them. I'm okay, but you know what, though? I might want Kaiser over Bradford.
I saw Diggs go off a board this week, I think, as wide receiver 19. He went like right after Terrell Pryor. Mm-hmm. He is gaining a lot of momentum right now, Stephon Diggs. So he's a player that if you want him, you have to pay up for him this week because Stephon Diggs is really rising. I'm not to the point where I'm going to put him above Jameson Crowder yet. Let me see where I got him ranked. I do think the talk was so crazy. I thought I was wrong. The talk was so good on the kid this weekend, how much people like him. I think I made it bump him up a couple. I got him at wide receiver 27. I'm seeing him go before the Golden Tate, Allen Robinson. He's in that Keenan Allen, Michael Crabtree range all of a sudden. I don't think he should be in that range.
Me either.
He's a little bit behind the Crowders and the Watkins. And another player that's dropping is Jarvis Landry.
I don't think Jared Goff has been formally introduced to Sammy Watkins at all.
that's the play for your boy.
No, Cup didn't even play this weekend. He still didn't look at Watkins.
Yeah, you know, I think Sammy Watkins is in for a tough year. I really do.
Sorry, Matt.
He could be, but I don't know. If he's there anywhere in the middle of the fifth to end of the fifth round, and I will draft him.
It could be a slow start. He might pick it up.
We have to remember, this is the preseason. I understand we want to see certain things, yes. But I'm not going to write off the Bucks. I'm not going to write off the Redskins. The Giants have been terrible. Eli's going to throw the ball 600 times or more this season. People are going to eat. You know, Evan Ingram, who I've stated this year, he wasn't the best talent, but for 2017,
right situation.
Would be the best work.
There's no chemistry between him and Goff yet, but that doesn't mean that the whole... it doesn't mean, you know, if something happens now, it's not going to happen the whole year. By week 4, these guys could have a rhythm with each other.
Could be.
You mentioned a few moments ago, we kind of started this off by talking about your distaste for Jordan Howard and where he is falling to. Of course, a lot of this stems from the weapons you had on the outside. That was what you said, Corey. Cam Meredith tears his knee apart, and he's out for the season, and quite possibly significantly longer than that. Now, if you and I don't know if you do, but if you want a piece of the Chicago passing game, where do you turn? Now, Kendall Wright to me, not Kevin White, Kendall Wright to me seemed like the obvious choice. He's in the slot. I think he's always someone that has been better than the opportunities he's been given. He's still pretty young. I think we underrate how young Kendall Wright is. Kevin White, from what I saw and from what I read yesterday, looks slow. He doesn't look like the same receiver he was coming out of West Virginia. So if I had to choose, I would go Kendall Wright, and I'm fine using a pick, Corey, a little bit later on Kendall Wright. Where are you with the Chicago passing game?
I don't really like none of the pieces, none of the weapons. I got to see what, I'll be honest with you, I got to see what the deal with Wheaton is. Wheaton is probably the player who's the most talented, in my opinion. I really don't know about
opportunity after opportunity in Pittsburgh. It never worked out.
It didn't work for Emmanuel Sanders in Pittsburgh.
In his last season, it absolutely did for Emmanuel Sanders.
In Pittsburgh?
In his last season in Pittsburgh. When he was signed with the Patriots on a restricted deal, Pittsburgh brought him back. He had a fine season that year.
Okay.
But now, Marcus Wheaton had an opportunity.
You look at it now, you could logically say, and Corey's right, that there's nobody there. But I'm telling you, Trubisky looks good. He's going to make somebody relevant.
They stink offensively. They're going to suck on offense.
No, they're not. Trubisky's going to be better than people think.
Why are we going there
looking
for fantasy production? If you want to take a gamble on the players in this offense in the middle to late rounds, like the Kevin White, whatever, I'm not going to back you on that. You feel what I'm saying? I don't want nothing to do with that Chicago Bear offense.
You could say that now. Trubisky's going to make somebody relevant, and somebody's going to be picking him up. And here's the other thing, too. I'll throw this out here, too. There's been rumors that the Dolphins want to trade Jarvis Landry, trade him to Chicago.
One of the funny tweets I saw this yesterday, I think it might have been Ed Silver, I'm not sure. But they said Kevin White runs like plods like an offensive lineman. But I would still take a shot if, you know, 'cause he goes so late. I've seen him going like, you know, 14th round or something. And the kid does have talent, but, you know, can it translate? I'm not sure. But at that price, I mean, there comes prices where players aren't going to hurt you. Like, I mean, if like Scott says, he wants Cooper Kupp on every team. For Cooper Kupp's price, if Cooper Kupp was a bust, it's not going to kill Scott.
I got him in the 10th and the 11th round this weekend.
No, if Cooper Kupp's a bust, it doesn't hurt Scott. If Kendall Wright's a bust when you're drafting Kendall Wright or Kevin White, that doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you either. I think there's worse stabs you can make than going after a Kendall Wright or Kevin White later on. I know you can't back it if we do that. I think there's worse stabs you can take. I don't have
an issue with that. You know what I'm saying? So I can see if you want to get a piece of that throughout the course of the bye weeks and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to try to go with a little bit more with an offense that's got some more game to it. Jarvis Landry is an issue right now because who you have? I have Devontae Parker ranked higher than Jarvis Landry now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going hard, man.
Not crazy.
Yeah. I took Parker in the fifth on Saturday night. Landry went like in this. I mean, actually, somebody took Landry in the fourth round, which was considering. Look, I don't. It seems like, you know, they're talking about trading this guy. I don't get it because
they don't want him.
Yeah, they don't want to pay him. So some team should definitely. Take a look.
Parker's their guy.
They're
hitching their wagon to Parker.
Nah, I mean, a playoff team that needs a receiver. This guy's proven. I mean, 288 receptions. You can't ignore that. This guy can get it done.
I wonder why they don't like him.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
You know who I would love to see Jarvis Landry, Corey Parson?
Where?
Dallas.
I mean, he's.
Landry and Dez? With Dak,
we don't need him.
Yes, you do. A lot more yardage than
the Dallas Cowboys.
Than Cole Beasley,
he's a different player than Cole Beasley.
I mean, Scott hit a perfect team for him though. If you put him there, I think that would be pretty nice.
Jarvis Landry.
Listen, I saw a tweet from somebody that basically said, this is from Armando Salguero, Dolphins beat reporter, who, you know, he basically said that. Regarding the trade, because a lot of people tweeted him about Jarvis Landry being traded. Quote, no, not happening. That is all. Move on.
That's it.
So I want to do the same. I want to just say that. No,
but yeah,
not happening.
Move on.
That is all.
But as far as the draft capital goes,
he's
a player that if you want, this is the week to get him here because
like
you'll
Matt
be able to
Maldika
have him.
Says, it's the preseason.
And listen, you can get a possible I guess we got to take it down 80 to 85 catches in the 6th, 7th round of a fantasy draft. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I still like Landry. Defenses are going to know that Cutler's going to want to throw to Parker, and they'll be ready for that. I'm not saying Parker won't get his, but you know Cutler's going to have to throw to Landry a lot.
And I mean, Landry wants to get paid.
Let's forget that.
I get it.
Money motivates. You know, money is sometimes the greatest motivation.
Money is the greatest motivation on both sides. From Jarvis Landry trying to make his money, and the Dolphins having no interest in obviously bringing his value up, right? Like, so I think Devontae Parker, the faster Alshon Jeffrey, right? I think he is the man right now. He should go ahead of Jarvis Landry until Devontae Parker gets hurt, like Devontae Parker always gets hurt, and you're going to wish you owned Jarvis Landry. He's falling. I have no problem picking him up. He's going, what, the 5th, 6th round now? I have no issue with that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more fantasy football headlines for the weekend here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turn fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Minutes before top of the hour here. Did everybody watch Mayweather and McGregor here?
I did submit and bought the fight.
You did buy the fight.
Yes, I did. I mean, look, it was good, but I'd rather have seen like 3 or 4 rounds of just going at it.
Did you place a wager on said fight?
No, I did not. I mean, I knew Mayweather would win, so.
You probably should have placed a wager.
Yeah, but you had to put so much money up.
Corey, did you place a wager?
No, I didn't place a wager on the fight. Obviously, I wish it was a lot of people in Vegas this weekend, but I'm so busy right now.
Well, Ireland took over Vegas.
So I did place a wager, and I placed a wager at mybookie.ag because mybookie's been in business for years, and the ref, it's awesome. They do 100% cash bonuses, so basically right away. I made money, right? So I knew I was going to make money. And betting on Mayweather was the easiest thing I could have done. And the best thing about it was that as soon as the Mayweather fight was over, I asked for a payout because, you know, I'm not really a gambler. I just thought this was a lock. So because they have such a fast payout, literally 2 business days, I'm going to get my cash tomorrow, which is awesome. I knew Mayweather's going to win. I put cash in, and that's why I won. And listen, I'm not just making this up. I went to mybookie.ag, and I made some money, Scotty.
Yeah, no, no doubt. I got the mybookie thing.
Cash
is pretty cool.
Is king.
Yeah,
I got downloaded the mybookie app right here, so you can find it in the app store or wherever you do your app shopping.
Absolutely. Listen, I won. They're going to pay me by tomorrow. It's literally that quickly. The cool thing about them is if I want to do it on Sundays for football season, they have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And as Corey just says, brand new app, brand new mobile site. It's extremely, extremely easy to do. So on Sundays this fall, make sure you check it out. Join now, MyBookie. They're going to match your deposit up with 100% bonus. Use promo code ROTOEXPERTS and you get $100 match. MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid just like me.
There you go.
Pretty good. Spitting
statistician got paid too. Or used MyBookie this weekend.
Yep.
Put something on Floyd Mayweather. Would you say you can't really, you know, there's no money in Floyd Mayweather winning because you know he's going to win.
Sure.
But, you know, but what did you think of the fight? A moral victory for Conor McGregor. Participation trophy.
Listen, I thought the fight, I thought it was fun. All right, I enjoyed watching the fight. Yeah, which is all I asked for.
I don't want to say it lived up to it, but it was worth it for what you thought it was going to be.
It was, because you know what? I was wrong in my assessment. Like, Floyd went after him. After the first 3 rounds where he let Conor tire himself out, in that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round, Floyd went after him. And you never see Floyd go after anybody. Yeah. So the fact that he actually went after him, he tried to knock him out, made it fun.
The fact that he survived that 9th round, I thought he was...
He was shaking.
Hey, look, this isn't a guy that, you know, has gone, like, the distance and... Look, I know he has boxing in his past and stuff like that. So it definitely was more of a... He did not want to go down. So for him, that was a win. But I would have preferred, you know, three rounds of like street fighting.
What's next for Conor McGregor?
I don't know. He just banked $30 million. So
I think, a lot more than that, to be honest with you.
Well, I think he had $30 million guaranteed with that. And I'm sure he made
off the gate and whatnot.
Yeah. So
he's going to fight Eric Young now.
No.
Yeah.
All right. No.
Oh, God. No. No.
Yeah. So Conor McGregor can pretty much do anything he wants right now. The question remains, like, does he go back?
He still wants to fight.
He still wants to fight.
I don't think boxing probably doesn't.
Oh, no. I disagree. Because there's more money in boxing than there is in
UFC. This is true, too.
The question will be, did he hold his own enough?
Boxing isn't as popular as UFC, though, right?
But there's a lot more money in boxing than UFC.
Yeah, pay-per-view stuff. Yeah. He went from, 5 years ago, his first UFC fight, he got $16,000 guaranteed to guaranteed of $30 million. So, hey, God bless him. Smart man.
Absolutely. And he talked enough crap to get Mayweather coming out of retirement.
That's some of the best parts of him, is just listening to him.
100%. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, we begin hour two with the first injury from the weekend, the first ACL tear. That was in New England with Julian Edelman. How do we replace Edelman? How did the Patriots replace Edelman? We're going to break it down to kick off hour number two next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.